Well, welcome to the annual Evident Life Church Tour. Woo! Hey, check it out. We got a tour bus this year. Look at that thing. All branded with Evident Life. Isn't Photoshop awesome? I see Dave Penske back there. Dave, it was recommended, and I'm sorry I didn't catch it in time, to Photoshop your face in the driver's seat. You know, Dave drives tour buses all around the U.S. So anyway, welcome to the Evident Life Church Tour. This is where we're going to explore our past. We're going to be reminded of our calling, and we're going to look forward to our future, what God has for us here as a church family. I always start off this tour with a statement. That is that we are a church who believes in GPS, God's positioning system. What does that mean? We just believe that if we look to the Lord, that He will guide us into the right place at the right time. So we turn to God's Word as our GPS, that lamp unto our feet, light unto our path. We turn to the place of prayer where we hear the voice of God and we get His leading and His nudging and His encouragement to move forward in all that God has for us. And so we use GPS, God's positioning system, here at Evident Life Church in all that we do. We're going to begin our tour by briefly exploring our past. We want to rejoice in what God has already done. You ready to look back? You ready to do it? Let's look back. We officially launched as a church September 13th, 2009, in the Southeast Regional Library, just across the street from our house. How convenient. That was awesome. And there's Jake. Look at Jake on the guitar. You saw him this morning on the guitar. He's grown up just a little bit, hasn't he? Oh, I love this one, too. I don't see Joe in this. He was in the previous service. Look at this. That's Joe Caldwell. That big 6'3 guy that plays football now, you know, he still does that, though, worships the Lord with everything in him. I mean, come on. The kids here are growing up to be amazing men and women in the Lord, and it's just great. Look at Faith and Ben. Oh, my goodness. I'm about ready to cry. Woo! Remember when we met there at the library, that about 15 minutes into the sermon, just had to be at that time, 15 minutes into the sermon, we would always get this little announcement that would come over the library PA system, and it would go, the library will be closing in 15 minutes. And I'm like, come on, we got to be able to stop that, especially in the meeting room. And we went to them and talked, and they're like, no, we can't do it, this is policy. And so we put foam over the speakers, and we couldn't keep it out. Every 15 minutes, and the library will be closing. Anyway, the good old days. If you were with the Evident Life Church family, part of the Evident Life Church family back in the library days, I want you to stand up and remain standing. Stand on up. Woo! Old timers, that's all I got to say. Stay standing. Because God then moved us on Easter Sunday 2010, moved us to a permanent facility at 1040 South Gilbert Road, where we were in the upper room. It was the second floor of a building over in the Gilbert Town Square area. And the Lord grew us up as a family there, continued to lay the foundation that He has for this church family in that facility for 4 years. If you were part of the church family and were part of what was going on there in the upper room at 1040 South Gilbert Road, stand up with the rest of them here. Stand on up. Look at that group. Stay standing. Awesome. The Lord added to our numbers there. It was a great time and a great place and a great blessing. But the Lord had more. He provided the finances, the resources, and the way for us to purchase this building. And we purchased this building about 2 years ago. But we had to wait 6 months to move in because there was a school still here that had to finish out their school year. So July of 2014, we moved into this facility, our new missions base. That's what we call this. This is a place to come in, to get equipped, to get filled with God, and then take Him out into our community. So if you began to engage with this church family and to be part of it, even if this is your first time here today, so this will help everybody stand up, I want to invite you to stand up. Stand up. Amen. Amen. God is good, isn't He? All right, you may be seated. But don't get too comfortable because you're going to be up and down some more. All right, this is one of those calisthenic kind of sermons. All right. Africa. Why am I mentioning Africa in Gilbert, Arizona? Because in our brief church history, God has given us a strategic ministry relationship with a local church in Ghana, Africa. And we've ministered in the Volta region of Ghana three separate times. The first time, my whole family, we went for an entire month and lived there with them in the village area. And then we took two other teams two other times. And the Lord has used us, even when we were just small, beginning. He used us, and this is a picture. He can use our smallness, our newness. He can use our meekness. He can use our lack to do things, to do great things, to change even villages and whole regions of the world. And he used this church family to do that. And we've been able to be part of growing a Christian school in Afife, Ghana, Africa, to over 650 students, where they get two meals a day when they go to school. We've been able to build desks for them, put in playground equipment for them, and even they have the nicest bathroom facilities in the whole village right there because of this church family, investing in our brothers and sisters and in the mission of bringing the kingdom of God even on the other side of the world. It's a beautiful thing. It's a humbling thing. It's an amazing thing to be able to be part of. And we've been able to be part of that. We've seen over 500 people come to Christ in the evangelistic crusades that we've done, just when we've done them ourselves over there with the church in Ghana, Africa, and Pastor Emmanuel and his team. Over 500. We've seen dozens of people baptized. And if you saw that picture of me in the water there with Pastor Emmanuel baptizing them, I just thank God that I came out alive without some kind of disease to bring back to you. You know what I'm saying? It's a privilege to be used by God in building his church worldwide. And we've been able to be part of that, and we continue to be part of that in Ghana and in other places around the world now, as the Lord is expanding the use and the influence that we're having as a church family here in Gilbert. So God has moved in us, and he's moved through us as a church. At Evident Life Church, we've been blessed to experience the hand of God in our lives. I mean, we have seen so many people healed. Often it will happen miraculously on the spot. Sometimes it will be over the course of months. But we've seen so many people healed. We've seen so many times where God has shown up and he's mended relationships, where he's delivered us from hard and difficult situations that wanted to take us down and out. We've seen people walk away from sin that has had them bound up for a long, long time, just destroying their lives. We've seen people come to Christ. Come into the family of God. Be baptized into the family of God. God has moved in power in and through this church family. And it's a blessing. So this is another time to stand up. If God has moved in you, done something in your life in the course of your time in this church family, I want to encourage you to stand up and let's glorify him with our standing. God is good. He is good. To him be the glory. God, thank you. Thank you for blessing us with all that you have, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated, but don't get too comfortable. Some people complain, oh, I just go to church and we just sit there and watch. Well, not here, not today. You're involved. All right. So what has God done? I want to talk about the generosity of this church. We're looking at the past still, but this is also the present and will be our future. This church is amazingly generous. It blows my mind. It humbles me to see my church family just give so generously, so sacrificially to others. Over the past years, we've seen so many blessed through our benevolence fund here in the church. We've seen lives change and families grow because of our adoption assistance program called Evident Love. It's been amazing. We continue to see that happen. God puts it on your hearts to invest in what's on God's heart. Through our support, see, we've been helping the crisis pregnancy over the years, and we've seen so many babies' lives that have been saved because of the generosity of this church family and so many others around the state of Arizona. People in this church have given to one another, not even through the church, but just given to one another, just caring for one another. I'm talking about sometimes it gets crazy. I'm talking like sometimes it's a car. It's a place to stay. Meals for a month, whatever the need is. I just watch this church family step up with generous, loving hearts and a willingness to give. It blows my mind, and it glorifies the Lord, because it's only because you have a heart of Christ. It's the only reason. It's evident. It's obvious. Over the course of this past year, this church has stepped out to help house and to feed the homeless. We're part of an organization called iHelp that's actually eradicating homelessness in Chandler and in Gilbert. So it's amazing to see how it happens. We have members of our church family now that have come through that have been blessed now, that have housing, jobs, and even cars and vehicles. God is using this church family to bless. There are some pictures here of the Christmas night, December 25th. We were housing the homeless in our community. And this church family provided an amazing Christmas night dinner for them. Incredible. Provided presents for every single person. Generous presents for every single person who attended. Not only that, I didn't even find out about this till I saw the pictures on Facebook. But I get up the next morning and I start seeing pictures of hot meal being prepared and served. Like all the fixings of a breakfast for our guests that were here. The generosity of this church blows my mind. You know, it was a year ago that we were hearing the Lord say, step out and be part of this ministry. A year ago, the Lord was saying, be part of reaching the elderly in your community. Those that are homebound, that can't get out, that don't have anybody to talk to, that don't get to hear the gospel or feel the love of Christ. The Lord calling us last year to get more and more involved in feeding and clothing those in need in our community through open arms. And that was just a year ago. And it's in the course of this year, it's blown my mind to see how involved this church has been in all of those things. I mean, we're working with the town of Gilbert, and they're giving us the entry to go bring the love of Jesus Christ to the seniors and the elderly that can't get out in our community. That's awesome. That's the heart of God. I just thank God that I get to be part of a church family that's wired this way, that has God's heart in this way. It's beautiful. We thank the Lord for that, for changing our hearts to give us that kind of a desire to love others. I talked briefly about our young people, just even as we're sending two off here this week, that the young people in this church are growing up and they're getting on fire for God. If you ever pop in and just check out what's going on in our youth life night gathering, sometimes there's 45 youth in there. Praising God. I mean, I'll walk in there sometimes and watch from the back because I don't want to interrupt what's going on. And I'll start crying as I'm hearing and witnessing 45 youth just praising with hearts fully given to the Lord. And I'm seeing how God is moving in their lives and through their lives. It is humbling. It's amazing. It's beautiful. It's God. It's God. So God is good. Amen. He's established his church. He's funded his church. He is using his church. He's growing his church. And he's blessed his church. So what I want to do is ask you to stand up and let's just praise him for all that he has done. Let's stand and thank the Lord. We thank you, Lord. It's you, God. It's you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Sometimes in a tour, you know, Dave, you understand this, you got to push the speed limit a little bit. I got to do that right now so we get there on time. You know what I'm saying? We got to hit our destination on time here. We're going to continue our tour, and we're going to be reminded of our calling. Who are we? What is God's mission for this church family called Evident Life Church? Now, we know the greater body of Christ is made up of different parts that have different purposes, different callings, different flavors. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:14, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And that's the beauty of the body of Christ. So when you look around the body of Christ, you go, what are they doing? What's going on there? Man, don't question. Don't worry about it. It's in God's hands. They're part of the greater body. And we are too. What's our part? What's our role? What does God have designed for us here at Evident Life Church? Well, here's the first reality that everything is founded on. Is that Evident Life Church, we're Christocentric, meaning that we're centered on Christ. Jesus is our everything. Jesus. He's our hope. In Greek, that word hope means deep desire and great expectation. Jesus is our deep desire and our great expectation at Evident Life Church. If that's as far as we went for understanding who we are and what we're called to do, we can stop right there. It's Jesus. He's our deep desire and our great expectation. Therefore, we do the things that are on his heart. We do the things that he has done. We do the things that he loves. And so we're driven to bring the kingdom of God. just as he did. We're driven to bring his kingdom, his love to a lost and dying world. We're driven to be the salt and the light, those new creations in him that bring his love and his light wherever we go. But we're not without direction in this, because the Lord is good. He gives us vision. He casts vision. He gives us mission. And he speaks to us and lets us know how to accomplish this amazing, impossible thing. Well, it's only in him. It's always in him. But I want to remind us of the mission statement that the Lord has given us as a church. And now this mission statement didn't just come about because a bunch of really smart, good-looking elders like we have here at this church went into a boardroom and began to figure things out, you know, on their own. This mission statement didn't come because we found some other church in some other place that was really successful and we're like, we want to be like them. What's their mission statement? Let's grab it and run with it. It didn't come that way. It came from the place of prayer. Talked about that earlier. Came from that room right on the other side of this wall, the prayer room. Came from seeking the heart of God. Came over 5 years after we planted this church. It's God's timing. But it's God's vision, it's his mission that he has for us here at Evident Life Church. The Lord specifically spoke this mission statement over our church. He said, Evident Life Church is embracing Jesus' great commission by helping people encounter God's presence, helping people belong to his family, and helping people grow in his love so that our town is transformed and our world is impacted for God's glory. For his glory, for his purposes, for what's on his heart. And so our mission at Evident Life Church begins with encounter. An encounter with God's impactful. How many of you have encountered God? Have encountered him in some way, some form? Has it been impactful? It has. I mean, sometimes it's so impactful that it'll rattle us and scare us. That's all right. An encounter with God is going to impact people. Therefore, we want to help people encounter God. They need to. The lost, the dying, the hopeless, they need to encounter God's presence. It says in Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore. How many of us want more joy? I want more joy. The world wants more joy. The world's just looking in all the wrong places. They're never going to find what they're looking for. Bono sings about that. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. People want fullness of joy. It's only found in the presence of God. That's it. And so if there's anything we can do for our neighbor who's lost, who's dying, who's feeling hopeless, who's hurting, if there's anything we can do, we can help lead them into the presence of God, to his presence, where there is fullness of joy forevermore. Forevermore. Furthermore, Jesus gave his life so that people could have relationship with God, so that people could belong to his family. That's the second key word there in our mission statement. Belong, helping people belong to the family of God. The only way you belong to God's family is through Christ Jesus. There's no other way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. It's amazing that the Lord would adopt us and bring us into his family, make us his children. We know our past. We understand where we've been. Yet he's seeking us out. He sent his son. He went to the cross to make a way for us to be adopted into his family. God loves people. He wants more people. Jesus came for people, by the way, right? He went to the cross for people. He came for people to belong to his family. He didn't come for religious reasons. He came for people. He came because of love. To help people belong. And so that drives our heart. That drives our lives. It drives this church. We want to help people belong to the family of God through Christ Jesus, through relationship with him, through new life in him. But part of belonging to the family of God then is belonging to the actual family of God, is having brothers and sisters in Christ that you do life with, that encourage you, that build you up, that support you, that help you. that hold you accountable, that encourage you. That's part of it. And so we want to help people belong to God's family. It says in Ephesians 2:19, so then you are no longer strangers. Maybe somebody needs to be reminded of that this morning. You're no longer a stranger and an alien, but you are fellow citizens with the saints. That's a whole other message. We're saints now, folks. You are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God through Christ Jesus. What a privilege, what a blessing. Finally, God desires that His children would know the fullness of His love and grow up in it. God wants us to grow up in His love. He wants us to experience the fullness of His love. And so one of the things that God's called us to do at Evident Life Church is to help people grow in the love of Christ. Did you know that if we grow up in His love, that everything else is going to work out? We're going to start loving one another if we grow in His love. If we just grow in knowledge alone and grow in religious stuff, that's not going to do squat, man. Can I use that word in the sermon? All right, anyway. It's not. But when we grow up in the love of God, look out. Everything changes. We sang about that earlier. Everything changes. So we want to help one another, encourage one another, build each other up, help one another grow in God's love. That's our mission. That's what God's told us to do. It says in 1 Corinthians 3:12, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you. That's our mission. That's our calling at Evident Life Church, to help people encounter, belong, and grow. Encounter, belong, and grow. But how do we do this? It happens, this mission statement is successful, when the roots of an evident life go deep. Now that word the Lord gave us, the roots of an evident life go deep, He gave us that when we launched and planted this church. Planted, roots, get it? Ah, this is cool, huh? And deep is an acrostic. D stands for discipleship. E, evangelism. The second E, encounter. And the final, the P, stands for prayer. And so when we are growing in these things, when we're engaged in these areas of discipling one another, helping each other grow in God's love, that's what discipleship. When we are evangelizing and sharing the love of Christ with others, and not just keeping it in the four walls here, but allowing this to be a mission base where we get equipped, filled, and excited about God, and then we go out and take it to others. When we are encountering God's presence first, and then bringing His presence everywhere we go. When we are in the place of prayer, seeking His face, getting direction from Him, getting refilled by Him in that place of prayer. That's when the mission is accomplished. And it all happens because our roots are going deep into the Lord, into Christ, getting our nutrients from Him. Now the P, it's the last one. So some people think, prayer isn't that important. It's the last one, D-E-E-P, prayer. But listen, prayer is the deepest of the roots. We call it the tap root. The deepest, most central root. It's where all the nutrients begin and come from to feed the rest of the tree, to bring life. Comes from that place of prayer, that place of getting in the presence of God, of sitting quietly, listening for His voice. So important. So critical for our lives, for our families, for our church. That place of prayer. This month, of course, is a month of prayer and fasting. Don't miss out on what God has for you. Don't allow the busyness of life or it's just not convenient to pray and fast this month. Don't let that rob you from those nutrients, that life that God wants to pour into you. So, you ready to go to our future? Ready to look? All right, where's God taking us? Our future. At our elders' retreat this past December, the Lord gave us a word. That word was make room. It comes from Luke chapter 2. Of course, it was December when we retreated and got away. And we were reading from Luke chapter 2, story of the birth of Christ. I want to go back to that so that we can understand what the Lord is calling us into this year at Evident Life Church. It says in Luke 2, beginning in verse 1, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee in Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. Now here's the key. Because there was no room for them in the inn. There was no room for Jesus. Now, what would have happened if the innkeeper had made room for Jesus? What would have happened to his life? What would have happened to his family's life? What would have happened to all the guests that were there in the inn if they were there and made room for Jesus when he came and showed up and was born? What would have happened to the whole town? What would the story look like? Did you know that God wants to do more in us and through us? Some of you are looking at me like, I don't know about that. Well, that is the truth from God's word. We're going to show you that here in a second. God wants to do more in us and through us. Did you know that God's plans are bigger and better than even what you're thinking right now? They're bigger and better than what you're experiencing, what you're living, and what you're even dreaming of. They're bigger and better. God wants us to make room for his bigger and better. Now check this out in Ephesians 3:20. Now to him, God, Jesus, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Immeasurably more than we could ever hope, imagine, think. That's God's plan. That's his dream for our lives. His children who have come to him through Christ. So this year we're called to make room for God. And make room for others, for the more, for the increase, for the glory of God. God is glorified when we make room for him, when we allow his bigness, his greatness to flow into us and through us. It's ultimately not about us, it's all about him. But we're called to make room for him. I want us to turn to Acts chapter 2. It's one of my favorite passages. I go here very often because it's a beautiful picture, a very clear picture of how we are to live and how we can experience the more, the bigger, the greater, the awesome things that God has for us. It's in Acts chapter 2, beginning of verse 42. Great picture of the church. What's our future? What are we going to be doing as the church, and even specifically as Evident Life Church, going into this new year, making room for God? Making room for God, though, begins with devotion to God. Begins with devotion to God. Acts 2:42. They, meaning the early church, meaning those wanting to make room for God and for others, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, speaking of communion there, and to prayer. They devoted themselves to these things. They didn't just think about it. They didn't just do it every once in a while when it was convenient. They devoted themselves to God. Now, as born-again believers, we are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. That means we are the dwelling place, the actual dwelling place of God. And I know that's hard to believe. It almost seems impossible, and it is, except God's bigness, his sovereignty, his greatness, and his love for us, that he has decided to make us, those who are born again in Christ Jesus, his actual dwelling place. We are his temples right now, the dwelling place of God. And it says this in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, not me, but Christ lives in me. He lives in me. He lives in me. So we no longer live for ourselves. Rather, we live for God. And he lives in us and through us. Therefore, we make room. Because of this reality, because of this truth, we make room for God in our lives to come in, fully come in. You know, too often we create these little pockets, these little rooms, these little places in our lives where we shut the door. We kind of make them our little own little areas. But this is just coming to me right now. You know what those little areas become? Do any of you have a junk drawer at home? Seriously. This is from God right now, because this is just coming right now. Do any of you have a junk drawer or maybe a junk closet or a junk room at your house where you just kind of pile and throw everything? I do. I have a few of those things. That area where you're closing the door and not making room for God, that's that area of your life. Do you have that area of your life? Anyway, that was from the Lord, man. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come on. Last week, our executive pastor, Rick, raise your hand, Rick. How you doing, Rick? Just started. He's our new executive pastor. He's a part-time associate until January 1st this year, full-time executive pastor now. Very excited, very blessed. Last week, he brought the word and he laid out our calling to live consecrated lives, lives devoted to God. Did you know the more we seek him, the more we find him? That's a biblical truth. That's a reality. The more we seek God, the more we find him. If we ask, we will receive. If we sit and listen, we will actually hear his voice. That's the marvel, the beauty, and the love of God that he has for us. He doesn't have to do that, but he does that. The more we seek him, the more devotion we have to him, the more we come to him, the more we will receive from him. I'll tell you right now, the more of your time, the more of your life that you give to God, the more of God you will receive. And I would rather have more of God than anything else that I have right now and can offer. Make room for God. Begin with devotion to him. Let's move on. There's more. Acts 2:43. Everyone was filled with awe. These are the people making room for God, the early church. Everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Look, we must also make room for the move of God, the power of God, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the miraculous. We need to make room for that. But we got to do it this way. We need to make room for what God wants to do. What God wants to do. We need to make room for how God wants to do it. And we may need to make room for when God wants to do it. Too often we want to control God and we want to see God move and the miraculous and the wow of God happen, and we've got him all boxed in and all managed and all controlled and all scheduled out and all of this stuff, and we're going to tell God how and when and what. And God's like, I don't work that way. Have fun. Do your thing. We need to make room for God to do what he wants to do. That's what I want. How he wants to do it. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. And when he wants to do it. Trust him. Persevere. Stick with him. Make room for him. Making room for God also involves making room for others. Caring for one another. Continuing in verse 44. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. I stated this earlier, this church excels at this. Keep it going. It blesses the heart of God. It is Christian living. It is investing in the economy of God that returns amazing dividends. Continue to love one another in this way, sharing with one another, giving. That's what God did. He gave. And look at the life that came as a result. Praise God. Making room for God and others happens when we gather together. Do you want more of God in your life? Do you want more of God in your life? Yes. Well, then here's the deal. You need to gather together with your church family. More gathering, more God. Now you think, wait a minute. I have a relationship with God and God will show up in my life. I get in my prayer closet and I have time with God. Amen. Yes and amen. That is true. That's true. But did you know that God also shows up, and he shows up in a special, even often a different way when we gather together, when two or more are gathered in his name, when we come together to praise and worship him? It's like this. You can be served a meal and you can decide to go eat it all alone at this little table over in the corner, and that meal is going to taste great and it's going to bless you and it's going to nourish you. And you're going to have, you know, an experience there. And that's one kind of experience, and sometimes that's what I want to do, is just sit alone and eat alone. You know what I'm saying? But it's a whole nother experience when you come to the table with the whole family. You're eating the same food, right? Served by the same person. But now you're eating it with the whole family, the whole gathering, everyone together. It's a different kind of life. It's a different kind of experience. It's a different kind of interaction with that same meal. The more we gather together, Just as the early church met together, the more of God we're going to see. Every day they continued to meet together, it says, every day. Uh-oh. I'm not going to go there. I'll just stop there. I'll let whatever God wants to say to you with that. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Church was a priority, gathering together. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Again, two or more gathered in the name of Christ, God shows up. When God shows up, people's lives change. Heaven comes down. Joy breaks out. God is saying to His church, make room for me. Get together. Pray together. Worship together. Make room for me. Make room for me. That's God's economy. Woo! We don't have to figure this out. We just read God's Word and He shows us exactly how to live. I love it. This is easy. Wow. What is the result of making room for God and others in this way? Finishes up in verse 47. And the Lord added to their number daily those being saved. Because they made room for God, people got saved. People came into the family of God. Lives changed. Families changed. Generations changed. Because the people of God made room. It all begins with devotion to Him. And getting together as the family of God. So the church grows, the family grows, the lost are saved. Jesus receives the reward of His suffering. This happens when we make room for God. That's our mission for 2016. This is a beautiful thing. God has already been laying the groundwork here at Heaven and Life Church. It's amazing. I looked at this, I thought, this is the word for this year. But God, look at how You've already laid the groundwork. You've already prepared the way. You've already got us going in this direction as a church. And that's the way God works. I mean, check this out. We already launched two services. One of the reasons we launched two services was to make more room. Look around. The kids are gone, and the room is still pretty full right now. Imagine adding the 9 o'clock service into here. We would have no room for others. God is already laying the groundwork for us to make room for more of Him and more others, and more of Him in others' lives. That's His heart. What else did He do? It was just a few months ago that we called up, we laid hands, and we installed the deacon team. And I will tell you, as a senior pastor of this church, something supernatural happened when we did that. When we followed His lead to do that, it was like the capacity, the ministry capacity of this church expanded multiple folds. I mean, it was just amazing what happened. I felt it. I mean, I felt it and I feel it today. It's miraculous. These men were already serving. But when we walked into agreement with what God was calling to do in this official appointing of this position, it just was like, whew, I'm getting you ready to make room for others, for more of me. And for more of others. The other thing is that we brought on Maria as our new children's director. Making room for more of God and for others. This is God's heart, and He's been laying this groundwork, setting us all up for what He wants to do this year and the next year. And the next year we brought on, I mentioned it, Rick as our full-time executive pastor. Went from part-time associate to full-time executive. That's bandwidth. That's capacity. That's more room for what God wants to do. In this church and through this church. Right? Amen. So, what do we do? How should you respond to this? How can you help make room for God and others? I'm going to run through these very quickly. First thing you can do is devote yourself to the Lord. It's got to start with that. Don't just get busy. Don't just get busy. Don't just start showing up. Devote yourself to the Lord. To prayer. Hey, you can even add fasting. Devote yourself to His Word, to letting it change your thinking, getting into alignment with God's way of thinking. Devote yourself to the Lord for living for Him, making Him your first. Other thing you can do is allow yourself to be someone who is daily being filled with God. Daily being filled with God. You know that we can live in that reality? I've learned this from the Lord. When I wake up in the morning, I choose to allow God to fill me. I go to a place of prayer immediately, even before my feet hit the ground. As soon as I gain consciousness, I am crying out saying, oh God, fill me. This is the day You've made. I'm here to live for You and with You. I want to walk in the Spirit today. I don't want to walk in the flesh. I don't want to walk in my own strength. I need You. This is all about You. What You have today is grand. It's big. It's good. Fill me. Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Speak to me even now. I mean, that's how I start my day. I have to. Otherwise, I get off on my own kind of a day. And my day is not a good day. God's day is always a good day. So get yourself filled up with God every day. That's the blessing that you have for being a child of God now in His family. Being the temple. Get filled up. Come, make the gathering of the saints a priority. That's another way you can make room for God. Make getting together in small groups, in medium groups, in large groups, in prayer meetings, in classes, on Sunday mornings, a priority. Because not only is it about you getting filled and receiving, it's about you giving and you being an instrument of God's grace to others as you show up. And maybe you think, I don't know what I'm offering. Be a greeter. You could be offering the world. You could be offering the very love of God and the word that somebody wants to hear. Welcome. You're valuable. Wow. The hug you give somebody could be the only hug they got all week long. And you were here and you were the one that the Lord used for that amazing, privileged role. Come on. It's exciting. This gets me excited. Come, though, with anticipation for what God is doing, being willing to be used by Him. Get together with one another outside of Sunday. Be that church that fellowships, that eats together, that prays together, that serves together, that loves on one another. There's no better way to live. It's amazing. Get in that flow, in that kind of a life. You won't regret it. Continue to love, serve, and give to one another when you see the need. I want to jump back to Jesus really quick. He's always been here, by the way. You know what I'm saying? When I say that, I mean jump back to Luke chapter 2. Back in the stable, it was the people who actually laid down the cares of life. Hearing the call of God, laid down the cares of life, and made room in their schedules and in their lives for God. Those are the ones that got to be there when He was born. Those are the ones that got to be there and see His presence and experience the very presence of God here on earth. Those were the ones. I want to encourage us to be those who make room for God, who experience the very presence of God and the move of God in our world right here, right now, because He is here. He's the same today as He was yesterday, as He's going to be in the future. He is here. He's here for you. He's here for us. He's here for our lost neighbors. Let's make room for God. I want to end with this. Let's stand up, and I want to read Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13. These are always appropriate, faith-building words to speak over us at the beginning of any new year. Because our future is bright. Did you know your future is bright? In the Lord. In your own plans and purposes? I don't want to follow. I don't want to be part of it, all right? But in Christ Jesus, our future is so bright and so exciting, so we make room for Him. And here's what God has for us as we make room for Him. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me. Call upon Him. Seek Him. Ask. And you will come and you will pray to me and I will hear you. You will seek me and you will find me. And when you seek me with all your heart. Amazing promises. So as we grab hold of this word the Lord has for us that comes directly from His word to make room for Him, we will find Him. We will find Him. That gets me excited for every one of us in this room. And for us as a church family. Here's what I want to do. I want to end in prayer. I want to invite the ministry team to come forward. Just can remain standing. The altar ministry team, come forward. Your opportunity to experience the more, the bigger, and the better of God can begin right now. You don't have to wait for July, August, September, even December of 2016. You can make room for God right now. Maybe you need to make room for God in your physical body for Him to come and move and heal you. Make room now. Maybe you need to make room for God in your relationships, in your job, in your finances, whatever it might be. You can make room for God and make that decision right now to make room for Him. You don't have to wait. We don't have to wait. Maybe you've never made room for God. Maybe you feel so far from Him. You can make room for Him right now, and He will come. He will come to you right now, and your life will be forever changed. Forever changed. I encourage everyone in here who has an area of their life, and maybe your entire life, and you need to make room for Him. Don't leave without doing that. Don't walk right back out into the same old, same old. Walk to Jesus. Make that room. Empty out that junk drawer or closet. Let Him come in and bring His fullness of joy. Bring in His presence. Amen. I'm going to close in prayer, and you can be dismissed. And those of you who are ready to make room, come on forward and get ministered to. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your plans. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for going before us and making a way. We thank You, God, that in You, God, we truly have life and we have new life. We thank You that we can enter and run even into this new year, following You with confidence. Lord, would You just cause each one of us to see and to understand how to make room for You. Would You expose those areas that we've closed off so that we can rip those doors open and invite You in. And may You just give us vision, passion, and that unction to get into that place of prayer, to seek Your face, to be into Your presence, God. For You are worthy. We long for You, Jesus. You are our deep desire. And You are our great expectation. We love You. May You be glorified in our lives today in this church. God, may You be glorified, for You are worthy. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. Have a great year. We'll see you next week. Maybe Wednesday night at prayer. God bless you.